Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We've been doing a series on You Were Born for This. Kind of, we started with the day of Pentecost, talking about God gave us the Holy Spirit to equip believers to do what God has called us to do, to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we began with that. You Are Born for This is a book that kind of helps, I believe, on a practical level, applying some of those principles of how God wants to manifest his power through our lives, how he wants to maybe deliver a miracle through our lives to be a blessing to other people. Well, so we're going to do one more message on that next week, and then on July 1st, kind of put that on your calendar. If you can be here, we have missionary Stephen Kurt that will be with us, him and his wife, Bailey. I think the last time he was here, they were just newlyweds, so they've been married a few years now, and some of you can't remember them, so that means it's probably been 4 or 5 years since they've been here. Time flies. But they've done an incredible job. I think this would be Stephen's probably his fourth time here with us, if not fifth. So grew up on the mission field in Kenya. I worked with him when I was in Springfield working on my master's degree 13 years ago. But God, neat story how God brought Bailey into Stephen's life and just how God worked that out. I think both were about 30. They were patient and waited for God and work all that out. So they got a neat testimony story about that. Bailey is dealing with some health issues, has been for several years, and kind of had an episode here even just this past week or two. So continue to keep her in prayer. They're planning on coming up, but her health is a little bit dependent on that. So if you'd keep them in prayer, and they would appreciate that. So those are some of the things we have coming up. This morning, we are going to begin in James chapter 1, if you want to turn there. But I want to talk a little bit about perfect moments and perfect moments with the ones we love, friends and family, all right? And so I'm gearing it a little bit to fathers, but in all honesty, you can take these principles that applies to every one of us, okay? Whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, grandparent, you're in school, college, grade school, whatever, it applies to our lives, okay? And so the first thing I have is, and I kind of have fathers, but you can put whatever you want there. So I'm going to give you the point, and then we're going to kind of look at some scripture here and then dive into that. So first of all, if we want to have good relationships and have these perfect moments, think of a perfect moment. Just kind of do a little replay back. We all have our own little replay button in our mind, don't we? What was a perfect moment for you growing up? In the last 5, 10 years, maybe 20 years, 30 years, I don't know how long you've been living. What was a perfect moment? Just take a moment. One that just stands out. Birth of your kids, okay? Yeah. So think about that perfect moment. What made that moment perfect? You know, sometimes we think that circumstances have to align perfectly to have that perfect moment. But like the birth of a child, that's pretty chaotic if you ask me. There's screaming, there's pain, there's blood, but then you have a birth of a child, right? And it's beautiful. New life, right? That's not always perfect conditions, but we celebrate the life that comes forward, right? So, perfect moments. Number one point here is fully engage the ones you love. Now, that might seem kind of basic, but I'm going to kind of get it into that a little bit. Fully engage the ones that you love. I'm reading through a book from one of my classes called The Power of Story. So some of these come from this book, The Power of Story. But it says, fully engage the ones that you love. Now, often we say that the greatest gift that we can give somebody is the gift of What'd you say? Time, yes. Got it. The gift of time. And there is some truth to that. I'm going to kind of counter that a little bit and take it a little bit deeper. Time is important, but in our culture, we are so guilty of multitasking. Okay, raise your hand if you're guilty of multitasking. Okay, all right. Some of you are lying. Okay, all right. Can't do that in church. All right. We multitask, right? We're talking to the person. We're watching TV. We're checking our phone. We're reading the newspaper. We're thinking about things that need to be done today, tomorrow, this week. And we're having these conversations, right? We're multitasking. We're not fully engaged with the person that we are with. We're doing other things while we're trying to connect with that person, whether it's a child, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our best friend. We multitask, and therefore we are not fully engaging the people that we are with. James 1:19 says, be quick to what? Listen. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Now, the context of what James is talking about, he's talking about that ungodly anger causes a lot of issues, okay? And so often we can react, especially in an angry way, in a negative way. But he has some great advice for us to be quick to listen. Now, when we talk about listen, and you know, the one passage says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? Obey. That idea of listening is more than just hearing, okay? You're hearing me today. The key is, are you listening to me? So listening takes it a step further that you're actually engaging with it. You're not just hearing my words, but you're actually engaging with it with your heart, your mind, and your soul. And when we're listening to people, there's many different levels of listening, okay? I like to, when I counsel couples, I talk about active listening. So active listening is when my spouse is talking to me, so in my case it is my wife Amy, when she's talking to me, that I don't jump to conclusions. Okay, she says something and that can be one response, right? Okay, because I think she said something that she didn't, all right? Or I can totally misunderstand her. So active listening says that you repeat back what they just said and she'll say, no, that's not what I said, this is what I said, all right? And then eventually get to the bottom of it. That's what active listening is. And too often we hear what people are saying, but we're not actually engaging with it. So the greatest gift that we can really give someone is not, it is our time, but rather it's even more our focus, what I call focused energy. Focused energy. What is focused energy? It means that I'm totally engaged with that person. I am in tune with what they are saying, their expressions, what they're communicating to me. Actually, communication actually happens verbally is like only 20% of it. Most communication happens through our expressions, doesn't it? A good portion of it. So if you are not listening with your eyes, with your attention, you are missing a lot of what the person is saying to you. All right? So to illustrate this, I'm going to take you back a little bit. We got the lights. We're going to take you back in time a little bit. And we're going to listen to somebody that was a master at focused energy and engaging with people on a powerful level. Listen to this. Run it. He would, that engagement that he had with Jeff would leave quite an impact on his life. Mr. Rogers would receive an award for it for 20 years later, he'd be inducted into the TV Hall of Fame, and Jeff would come back almost 20 years later. He would do the introduction for that. It was a relationship that continued on, but it was a very transformational moment just for Jeff and this young man's life. And did you just see how he engaged with him? Everything else was tuned out, and his full attention was on this young man. And because of that, that young man felt valued, he felt special. He was probably nervous about doing all that, and yet he had the freedom to interact with Fred Rogers during that time. Very powerful episode. What if we could do that in our own relationships that we have with family, with friends, that we put all of our energy into that moment, into that time to engage them? And in our culture, we deal with different things that they did back in the Bible times. We deal with different things that they did when Mr. Rogers had that episode. Phones are great, right? These things are great. They can do a lot of good things, but they can also take away from a lot of things. TV's nice, but it can also take away from things. we all have our distractions. So the point is, fully engage the ones that you love. Fully engage them. Give them your time and your energy. So second of all is manage your energy. Manage your energy. Now, there again, we may think that the greatest thing that we can give to the ones we love is our time. And I'm not contradicting that. I would just say that sometimes when we interact with the people that we love, we give them our time, but how are you feeling when you give them that time? Sometimes you're exhausted, you're drained, right? You've been working, right? But sometimes there's ways that we could manage some of that. And I want us to look at Daniel chapter 1. I've been reading Daniel in my devotional time. And I just love reading through the book of Daniel. But there's something that key that Daniel did, and I want us to pick it up in verse 8 of chapter 1. It says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine." So Daniel is taken as a captive. He's taken from Israel, and he's taken to Babylon. Him and a couple of his friends that showed promise, that showed intelligence, they were brought into the Babylon system. They were then tried to be taught in the culture and the way of living, and then they would be involved in the government of Babylon. Okay, so verse 9, "Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but Daniel, the official told Daniel, 'I'm afraid that my lord the king, you have assigned your food and drink.'" So Daniel wanted new food, okay? "Why should he see you looking worse than the other men?" So Daniel was requesting just fruits and vegetables. Then Daniel says to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Hananiah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance to that of the young men who eat the royal food. Treat your servants in accordance to what you see." So he agreed to this test for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men that ate the royal food. Okay, so they were having ribeyes and potatoes and all that good stuff, right? But at the end of this 10 days, Daniel and his friends were healthier in appearance, and they just looked better all around. And so they, at the end of the time, verse 18, they said to the, they talked with them, they found that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when they entered, they were 10 times brighter and better than the rest of the people in the kingdom. And so they changed everybody's diet to vegetables and water, all right? Now, I'm not saying we have to all go vegan, okay? What I am saying is that Daniel was conscious of how his diet affected his energy. It infected his intelligence, how he interacted with people. And there was evidence within 10 days, there was evidence that their diet impacted how they looked in their countenance and in their health. Okay? And so Daniel understood what it was like to manage his energy. And he did it through his diet, through his relationship with God. He walked before God. So energy falls into four different categories, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. You can read more about it. But it falls into the category physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Okay? Now, just think about this. If I'm not feeling good physically, am I going to feel good emotionally and spiritually? Probably not. Because how we feel physically, energy-wise, is going to impact those other areas of our life. If I'm feeling terrible emotionally, it's going to impact my spiritual life. It's going to impact other areas of my life as well. If you're depressed, you're going to feel terrible physically, spiritually, and mentally, right? So each of those areas impact each other. They're all connected. It's not separate, okay? So Chris is going to show a few of these here. You got a little bit ahead of me there, Chris, but we can go back one there. So physically, has to do with our energy originates with glucose and oxygen when they combine. Okay? When that blood sugar, that glucose, combines with oxygen, you have combustion. That's what gives you energy. Okay? At the molecular level. There we go. So when you eat well, you have a good breakfast, then you start yourself off on a good day. Okay, physically anyway. You exercise, you take care of your physical body, you get some rest. That is how we provide energy for ourselves physically. Now, some of us do a good job at this, some of us don't. And I'm not here to micromanage or anything like that. But if you have a lousy breakfast, there's good chances you're going to feel lousy throughout the day, okay? If you start off with the Mountain Dew, I'm probably picking on a few of you.
Amen!
You're setting yourself up. All right? We need to talk, okay? No. All right? So physical energy, that energy defines that we are. In other words, if you don't have physical energy, you're not going to exist. It defines that you are, okay? So it should be up there. Yeah, it defines that you are, okay? All right, emotional energy, that has to do with our feelings, our emotions, our mood. If we want to manage that energy, you have to take some time to maybe take walks, manage your stress, take a Sabbath day, get your rest. Those are all important for emotional energy and health. And they say that even just taking a walk out in nature, I mean, they can just monitor it. Boom, it lowers your stress level. It lowers all the bad things. And it helps your body kind of reset, okay? Emotional. So that energy defines how we are. How are we feeling? Well, that emotional energy and health. Third one, mental. That has to do with your thinking, cognition, logic, alertness, sharpness. You hit 50, you need help, all right? So proper rest, reading, better in yourself. But that energy defines where we are. Where are we at in life? Are we at the top of our game, or are we just kind of drifting through there? Our mental energy. And then the last one is our spiritual. Our spiritual energy. That has to do with our purpose, our values, our beliefs. And so having a consistent devotional prayer time and Bible studying God's Word, meeting with other believers as you're doing today or being in small groups, that's how we manage that energy. If you aren't spending any time with God, guess what? You're probably not going to have a lot of spiritual energy. Right? Because your soul is dry and empty. And what I have found, there's been seasons in my life, it's kind of like I thought I was going along okay, and I realized that, man, I was running on empty. My soul's dry. It was empty. And if your soul is empty, and it can happen very easily just because we live fast-paced lives, and if we neglect our soul before we realize it, it's kind of like there's nothing there like we thought there was. These four areas are all intermingled. And if we want to have energy for the ones that we love and fully engage them, we can't be just a blob on the couch that's just there. Our body's there, but there's no energy, right? That's no fun. We've talked with people. I've probably done that too. We're exhausted. And then you're not able to engage the people that you love. We can't always control everything, but we can control some things. We can control what we eat. We can control the exercise we get. We can control some to a large degree when we go to bed, when we get up. Control the things that you have control of so that you have energy to pour into the ones that you love. Does that make sense? Last one. Plan for the future, learn from the past, but live in the moment. I don't think Christians are very good at this. I don't know, it seems unspiritual maybe. Plan for the future, learn from the past, but live in the moment. It's the live in the moment part I don't think Christians are good at. At least I'm not. Why is that? Because if we're always focused on the future, we'll miss the beauty in the moments that are right before us. Okay? So men, I'm going to speak to men here because it is Father's Day, but we're notorious for this. We're going to go on a vacation, right? And so we are focused on point A is where we're leaving from, and point B is where we're headed to, right? So we're on a mission, right? We're going to get there, right? Can't stop to go to the bathroom. We're going as fast as we can, maybe about 5 or 10 over, right? And we're going to get there, right? We have a mission. And at times we can do that, but sometimes we can be going from point A to point B and going through some beautiful territory, right? And we can miss some beautiful moments along the way because we were so focused on the future. And we can do that in life as well. We're focused on what's going to happen down the road that we can miss what God is wanting to do in our relationships right now, today, right at this moment, that He's wanting to do in our lives. And we can miss those moments. I was so impressed, just on the news, it was on the evening news, one of the stations. They were interviewing a man. He had been in prison for 38 years. He was just released this year. Maybe you caught it. It was one of those last stories that they do at the end of the news. They tell you all the what's wrong with our world, and then in the last two to five minutes, they give you something positive so you don't go home. You're not too depressed, right? But they told the story about this man. He'd been in jail for 38 years, prison for 38 years, for a crime he didn't commit. And he was proven innocent through DNA testing that proved that he wasn't the one that did it. And so he was getting to have his first Father's Day with his son. His son was 2 when he went in, when he was arrested and put into prison. And so they really didn't, you know, the son was too young to ever remember having a Father's Day with his father. What impressed me is that they were looking forward to this first Father's Day together, and they were talking about that. And they could have every reason to be bitter, to be upset at the system and why he served those 38 years for something he didn't do. They could have been upset. But there wasn't an ounce of bitterness there. There wasn't an ounce of living in the past. They were focused on the moment that they had this year, that today, that they were going to get to spend their first Father's Day together, their first Father's Day weekend. That's what mattered to them. Because they realized if they lived in the past, it was just going to steal the joy from the moment that they had now. And I thought that was so important. I thought, I don't know if they're Christian people or not. They sure seemed like there was some Christian virtues there. What does Scripture say? Psalms 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. I want to tell a story about a man. His name is Gene. Say Gene. He was a top CEO in our country. This is a real story. He led his company through a process of implementing some of these principles. He helped them eat better, exercise. He allowed them to take breaks. He encouraged them to sleep well, to live well. And what he found is it totally revolutionized his company. It made a huge difference in how his company was run. Their product productivity went up. People were happier. They were more content with their work. Things were going well. He was on the top of his game, leading one of the best companies in our nation until 2005. It was then he was diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer at age 53. And he was given 3 to 6 months to live. And what he learned in those next few months changed a lot of his life. And what he learned in that process with only 3 to 6 months to live is that he was always looking past to today. He was looking 18 months down the road. Because isn't that what our culture and the business world tells us to do? We're always looking at the next thing. The next thing, the next thing. And he found out he was looking past today and always living in the future. And so his death sentence changed how he lived those next few months. Now he lived each moment that God granted him, and it totally changed the quality of engagement and interaction with his family and close friends. A perfect day and a perfect moment with him was being able to fully engage with the people that he was with. If he had that opportunity, it was a perfect moment. It was a perfect time to just to be with them and to enjoy that moment together. And this is what the author says concerning Gene's story. He says, "Full engagement represents the greatest quantity, the highest quality, most precious focus, most precise focus, and greatest intensity of energy invested in whatever one is doing at the time." So we're putting all of our energy into that moment. He says, even if it is dying. Even if we're in the process, we're given a death sentence, we're saying, hey, you're going to die, and you only have days to live. If you're putting all your energy into that moment and to the people that you love, that's a perfect moment. That's a perfect day. That's a perfect time. When we put everything that we have into those moments. A great famous quote says, "It's difficult to live and enjoy the moment when you're thinking about the past or worrying about the future. You cannot change your past, but you can ruin the present by worrying about the future. Learn from the past, plan for the future. The more you live in and enjoy the present moment, the happier you will be." You know, at age 50, I can see a lot that I've done right, maybe a lot that I could have done better. I can't change my past story. All we can, any of us can do, is to change the story that is yet to be written, right? And we can point our finger at circumstances. We can point our finger at upbringing. We can blame it on our decisions. That's a little more our fault. All you can control is today, right? And the decisions, what you are doing today. And at the end of your life, how will your story read? What changes, if any, do we need to make within our own lives to give energy, our time, our full attention, engagement to the ones that we love? As fathers, as mothers, as young people, as singles, are we fully engaging the people that we love? Are we enjoying those perfect moments that God is giving us and we're totally zipping past them because we're focused on the future or dwelling on the past instead of enjoying the moments that God gives us today, right here at this moment? Amen? Can I have the musicians come? I'm just going to close this with a word of prayer. You know, only God in His grace can give us the power to change our story and how our story will look. I think it's always good to adjust things along the way. There's stuff that I read or encounter, and it's kind of like, wow, I wish I'd have had this when I was 18 or 19 or 20, 22. But maybe I wasn't ready for it, because sometimes we have to fail, we have to make mistakes, we have to hit our head against the wall, and it's kind of like, it's through those times that we actually hear the things that we're needing to hear, right? And until you've had some difficulties and failures and messed up a few times, then you go, oh, I needed to do things differently. A little more teachable in those moments, aren't they? So, today, what's your story? What is God speaking to your heart this morning? Fully engaged with the ones you love. Manage the energy that God has given you. And God, you just need God's Holy Spirit just to take that and apply that in your own life. You and God need to sit down and say, you know, is there ways that I need to change my life so I have energy for the ones I love? Life is a gift, right? And our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You only get one of them, last I heard anyway. You only get one of them. If you know Jesus, you're going to get to heaven either sooner or later. Okay? But we can't control everything, but there's some things we can control. Amen? The one thing that we can control managing our energy. And we can control where we're going to spend eternity. Amen? Control where we spend eternity, and that we know Christ is our Lord and our Savior. I think He blesses all of our relationships. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? I just want to give an opportunity that if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that you can pray a prayer with us, begin on that journey. That's part of the process just of our spiritual health. That we know we're going to spend eternity, that we know Christ is our Lord and our Savior. I want to just lead us in a prayer. If you believe it with all your heart, this morning I believe that God hears that prayer. And it begins you on a journey. We got some great people up front here that would love to pray with you and help you to solidify that. If you have a need or request this morning, they will join you in prayer. So let's pray that prayer together. I'm just going to invite us all. Say, Dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me on the journey to know you better. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's sing this chorus together and let God speak to your heart. Lord, it's your breath in our lungs. You give us life. Lord, we thank you for those moments that we have, Lord, with our family, with our friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, Father. Lord, help us to pour all of our energy into those moments, Lord. For Forgive us the times where we're doing a bunch of different things all at once instead of just giving our full attention to the people that are right there with us. Because at the end of our life, it's not going to be that we're not going to say that I wish I would have worked more, I should have done that more. It's going to be that I wish I'd have made most of the moments that you gave me, with family, with friends. Those are the things that we remember. And those are the moments we want to create. And so, Father, help us and help us to appreciate those moments, that breath that we have each and every day. To glorify you in all of it, Lord God, and to do your will. Go with us this week. Go with us this afternoon as we spend time with family. I just pray that you would bless those moments that we have this today. Just be present there with us, Lord, I pray. We give you the thanks. We ask in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Shake of hands.